that kind of scary? No? Good man. Okay. Okay. Even though you kind of know what's in the forest, but it's not completely dark. You've got trees, but you know, there could be some animals and things. But you know what? You always look for the light. One of my favorite stories is North Carolina, if you know, has 7 lighthouses on it. And you can do a lighthouse tour, which is really cool. And several of the lighthouses you can't get to except by boat. Some you can drive, but most of them you can't. Well, picture yourself if you're at sea and it's so dark and you know you're getting close to land, but you don't know where the land is. That's where, what did they do? They looked for the lighthouse because they knew that when they saw the light from the lighthouse, they were getting close to shore. Well, that's kind of what Jesus is for us. We may be in times that we feel like, man, I'm uncomfortable. I'm not sure where I'm going and I really can't see very well. But guess what? Jesus said, I'm with you and I'm going to light the way. And that's what he does and that's what the Spirit does in us. So remember that next time you're in a really dark place, you're like, I'm okay, God's got me, and I'm going to be able to get through this because he's with me, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for being the light. Even though at times we're in the dark, you are with us. Thank you for this glorious day, and bless our family and friends. And thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can go back.
As the kids are shuffling back, let me highlight something I missed in our announcements. After the prayer time, you can hang out with us 5 o'clock at the prayer team meeting, rather. We have a Bible study at 6. And then the cool thing is not only do you get a great Bible study, then you can come back and eat some of the cheesecake that we're going to bake at 2 o'clock. So it's kind of a full cycle. It's pretty neat. We come now into a time where we read and listen to God's word and hear it. You know, as Presbyterians, we're people of the book, so we put a great emphasis on what the Bible says. And in order to do that, we prepare by saying just a prayer. So let's do that now. Let's pray to our Almighty God. Almighty and eternal God, we just thank you for your word, for it guides us. It is a light, a lamp unto our feet. And Heavenly Father, we just ask that as these words are read and proclaimed, that you would awaken in us something perhaps new, Father God. Awaken within us a desire to know you at an even higher level. Allow us, Father God, to hear your word, to have it soak into our marrow, and then to have it change us, Father God, to have it work from within to bring about the transformation that you call us to. Transform us now, Father, by the power of your word and by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Today's New Testament reading is from Romans 12. Verses 1 and 2, and these are two of my favorites. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
We're doing things a little out of order. I gave us our New Testament reading first because I'll be preaching from the Old Testament. Again, we're going to look at Jonah, the second chapter. A little build up into this is helpful, but just a light one. Jonah, it depends on how you want to read the Bible. You can come at it as though it is an allegory, or you can come at it as though it's real. The point is, the story tells the same tale. And we shouldn't overlook what's being told to us. Before our reading today, Jonah has been given a direct command by God. God's command is very clear, well stated, no ambiguity. Jonah knows exactly, without question, what he's supposed to do. And then Jonah does something that seems an awful lot like me, and it may seem an awful lot like you, I don't know. But Jonah decides not to do it. Jonah finds himself, no lie, in a very terrible place. He's wrapped up inside the belly of a whale, which is, as you could imagine, dark, smelly, and probably a little squishy, if you think about it. You know, I don't know if any of y'all take krill oil, but I do, because I'm getting old, right? That stuff smells to high heaven. So you can only imagine what it would have been like for Jonah, again, imagining that he's in a whale. But it's this turn that Jonah makes. It's this remarkable leap that he takes in this prayer that we need to listen to. Because I think, friends, brothers and sisters, it's a prayer we need to have on our lips at times as well. So let's hear now the word of our Lord from the book of Jonah, the second chapter. I'll be reading verses 1 through, I think it's 10. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life, and the deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited up Jonah out upon the dry land. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to begin by telling you a story about a buddy of mine from high school. Now, this goes back, obviously, look at the date on me, right? So quite some time. But this particular friend of mine didn't have the greatest relationship with his parents. And as a result of that, they decreed they weren't going to pay for his college. He probably didn't deserve to have to pay for his college. Let me point that out. The parents are not always wrong here in this one. Well, my friend was then able to secure a spot at a major university and working with government and a student job, he was able to go. And he started out, but man, was it a struggle. Not having parental support in college is very tough. And so he was working all the time. It was, as a matter of fact, it was in that work that he got engaged in something that was going to lead to some real trouble for him. He became the director of the mailroom first at his dorm. It was a student job. It probably paid at the time three and change an hour. It was nothing much, but it was a little income. But my friend was good at it, and he got promoted a couple of times until he was overseeing the mail operations of four of the University of Georgia's biggest dorms. It was about 2,000 students involved. My friend needed money, and he unfortunately found a bit of a loophole, an exploit. There was at the time, and I've mentioned it before, the Columbia Records House deal. If you're laughing, you're probably over the age of 50. Columbia Records House had a time at the deal at the time before tracks could be purchased. They would send you 12 albums for a penny. It wasn't really a penny. You had to buy six more, and you ended up getting hosed in the deal. But that didn't matter. You got the 12 to begin with. Well, my friend recognized that he was the one overseeing the mail in and out, and he began to order extra 12 sets for himself. At first, it was just because he liked music, but then he began to realize that he could turn those free CDs into cash, and he got into that very heavily. Well, a little fraud maybe is only going to get you a slap on the wrist. When you commit massive fraud, the government gets involved, and they did, and he was arrested. And what he shared with me from that day was just harrowing. You can only imagine being in a classroom and getting arrested, and then ending your day in the Athens city or county jail, and they've got a bit of a sewage problem. He said lights went off at 9 o'clock, and he was in the dark, and it stunk. And the thing that was worse for him is he had to spend the whole night knowing that it was he that brought him there. That it was no one else in the world, but that it was his actions that had brought him to this place of dark stinkiness, let's call it. Well, again, what do we have in our story today? And even though I'll call him a whale, the actual Hebrew says big fish. So this has got to be a really big fish, right? Well, that's where Jonah finds himself, because God has laid upon Jonah something God wants Jonah to do. God wants Jonah to go and declare and to prophesy against his worst enemies. God wants the people of this nation that has long since gone, called Nineveh, to repent. And he's chosen Jonah to go and tell this country that they need to repent. And because of that, God's going to spare them. He's not going to kill them all. Jonah's got an important mission, doesn't he? But Jonah doesn't like the Ninevites, and for good reason. They were the Assyrians in real life, and the Assyrians historically were incredibly brutal to the people they captured. You did not want to be in a town taken by the Assyrian forces, trust me. It was awful. Jonah knew this. Jonah didn't like the Ninevites, the Assyrians. So he says, "No, thank you, God. I'm leaving." And I kind of get him. Because, you know, I'm a bit of a Tar Heel fan. And when they play Duke, man, there's something inside of me that rises that's a kind of a hate and a bile. I don't understand it. But I do remember at one point, if somebody imagined for me a scenario, that aliens landed and wanted to play basketball. And the terms were the fate of the universe for their team versus the Duke men's basketball team. And I made a declaration. I was pulling for the aliens. So I understand this level of hatred. Now, somebody's going to point out to you that I actually ended up going to Duke. Self-loathing. I don't know, right? It's a long story. Anyway, Jonah's in this place where it stinks and it's dark. And he knows that the person that brought him to that point was him. And it's at that point he prays. It's at that point he lifts up to God the fullness of his awareness. And he does declare the Lord is the head of salvation. And it changes the picture, doesn't it? We get at the very end of our reading that Jonah is spit out upon dry land. And if we carry the story just a bit forward, what we're going to find is that Jonah absolutely does what God wants, and the people respond. Jonah tells us a story, though, that we need to hear, because it tells us the story of repentance and then the actions that are taken following to ensure the movement from the darkness to the light. Because, you see, when you're trapped by sin, right, the easy thing to do is to just say, I'm not going to do it anymore, and leave it at that. What generally happens from that, though? Not terribly much. And the reasons are really, I think, pretty obvious when you start to reconcile the Bible. When you look and see what the Bible seems to say about repentance and this turning from sin that occupies our life, what you found is something very profound. To begin with, the word itself, repent, it is shuv, is the term, but it means literally to turn, as in you're walking in one direction, and I better not walk off the edge here, right? And then you start walking the other. Repentance is an action that begins with a declaration to God, but then carries forward in other actions. But let's begin with the appeal to God. When you get to that place in your life and in your heart where there's not much light and things stink, there is something to do. Now, sometimes this can happen, oftentimes maybe even in your life, where you've had no part or parcel in the darkness and the smell that's come into your life. Prayer is still a good solution here. But I want to focus us especially on those times where it was like my friend in college, and maybe sometimes me today, where we've gotten into something that we shouldn't have, and it's crept up and it's gotten and claimed a whole lot bigger place in our life. And when that happens, friends, there is a solution. Jonah shows it to us. Jonah, remarkably, is the one that shows us that going to the Lord in prayer is an ideal time. And I want you to look at the language he uses. Because sometimes, friends, I think we've got it wrong when it comes to prayer. Sometimes I think we have to load, I think we believe that we have to load our language with the ultimate words that sound really pleasing to God. You know, the big multisyllabic ones that make it sound like we're really into it, like thine and thou and dost, right? But that's not at all what God needs. What God needs is what's already lurking in your heart, which is an honest contrition, an honest statement, just like you were talking to a friend. Because that's what Jesus is, right? You know that. He tells us that in the Gospel of John. We're his friends. So when we talk to him and we take him the dark and ugly stuff, we can talk to him as a friend. And again, while I tend to think of myself as in the vein of Billy Graham, who says, let the Holy Spirit convict of sin, I do think it's important that we realize that we are sinners and that it does come into our lives in things and ways that we might not realize. There's things like envy and slander. You know, I can't help but notice it's an election year and a lot of us are awfully partisan, right? How often are we bad-mouthing or slandering our friends, peers, or even other people on the other side? What about envy and desire for things that other people have? That's a sin, too. And one that I can't help but confess comes into our hearts more frequently than we'd probably want to confess. Nowadays, with the internet, we're subjected to something on the order of like 300 advertising messages a day. We're bound to want stuff, and in that desire, we're bound to take shortcuts that we shouldn't. What about lying and deceit? I can't help but notice this week was tax week. Everybody was really scrupulous on their TurboTax this year, right? We've got areas in which we all bleed. The Bible tells us that. It says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one of us that's perfect. But thank God that's not where the Bible leaves us. Because where the Bible leaves us is with Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. He laid down his life for us and for our salvation. And because of that, we can repent. The Holy Spirit with us is able to turn us, to move us and walk us in another direction. But there are things that we can do in that space that will make the leaving easier and will make it much less likely we'll ever return to a place that's dark and smells as bad as krill oil, right? The first thing is a pretty obvious one. The first thing we can do is we can make an amend. We can set right what we've done wrong. We can go to the people we've harmed sometimes and take accountability for our actions. And not only that, we can come with a solution. If we've taken money that we shouldn't have, we can give that money back. If we've said unkind words that we shouldn't have, we can offer a kind word in exchange and a resolution to that. We can take actions to fix what we have done wrong. And what the Christian life is going to show us is, unfortunately, even though we're saved by grace, we're still a little bit sinner, and we're going to continue to come into this. In fact, John Calvin once wrote very clearly, repentance is not merely the start of the Christian life, it is the Christian life. These are issues that we're going to run into time and time again. So when we do them, we confess them to God like Jonah did, we make them right. And then we do something else. This is the special sauce, I think. This is really where we get it. We immediately and resolutely turn our attention to helping somebody else. This is exactly what Jonah does. Now, roundabout, he's told to do this, so it's a little bit of a cheat there. But notice that what he does helps people. Jonah is able to condemn the people of Nineveh for their apostasy, and the people of Nineveh respond and don sackcloth and ashes, they are saved. Hallelujah. He did a wonderful thing, right? Jonah turned, he prayed, he made things right, and then he did something good for other people. Friends, I'm here to tell you, when you get to those points in life where it stinks and it's dark and there's not many people that want to be around you, you can kind of know that unless there's some illness or some outside trauma that maybe, just maybe, the problem isn't outside of us, it's inside of us. You see, and we've got a little of a problem when it comes to that, because we've been inundated for generations now with a social and emotional learning style that is bearing bad fruit. You see, we've been told over and over again that we're perfect on the inside, and that it's only what's bad and broken on the outside that causes us distress. Friends, that's a tremendous inversion. Don't miss that. The problem with the world isn't what the world is. The problem with the world is what's in our hearts. And what's in our hearts can be amended by repentance, which comes to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, from restoring and making right what we've done wrong, and then finding someone else to resolutely and immediately help. Friends, God has given us the answer. He has shown us what to do when things get dark and they stink. And what a good news it is to know that because of what Jesus Christ did for us, by laying down his life, that we are freed from it, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can turn, we can amend, and we can help. And in that, we can find the light that will sustain us not only on this side of eternity with great abundance, but friends, it's a light that will shine in your light as you close your eyes for the last time here and awaken them in the kingdom of God, where you will dwell forever and ever in a place where the Bible tells us there is no sickness, no sadness, no war, no hostility, no slander, no envy, no death. And we'll be there because of what Jesus Christ did. To him be the glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer. Having heard the word and being righted by it, we come and we lift up to God those things that weigh us down. Let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this day and for this opportunity to worship you together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Heavenly Father, not many of us knew one another as we came in, and yet by your word and by your spirit, we're now drawn and tied and knit together, Father God, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So let us rejoice in that fraternal place, that strong awareness that we are loved by not only God, but by other people, and that in him, in our Father, we find not only peace and comfort, but we find our purpose and our calling. Father God, let our purpose come to us today, if it be your will. Father God, allow us to look in the dark and the smelly places in our lives and turn those things over to you absolutely and resolutely. Let us walk away from that which binds us to darkness and death. And instead, open us and awaken us to the light of your eternal and abundant and everlasting light. Share with us the desire to turn from what is holding us in darkness and awaken us to your endless possibilities. And Father God, in that corrected and healed space, allow us now to turn our attention to do good for other people. For your word tells us that not only do you hear what we say, but that you indeed act on it. And so, Father God, we boldly ask you to act on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ, to do those things necessary for not only their healing, but from their restoration from grief and sorrow as well. So, Father God, we pray for Jack Parker and Johnny Quinn. We pray for Linda Lynn and Charlie McCrary. We pray for Jill Griffin and Tom McClure. We pray for Dale Lucky and Bev Weldy. We pray for Jenny Dunn. We pray for all of those who are still grieving the loss of a loved ones. And we pray for everyone and anyone that's on our list or that we've named silently in our hearts now, Father God. You know our thoughts. You're nearer to us than our next breath. And because of that, you know what weighs us down. Take it from us, God. Allow us to cast all our cares and anxieties on you as your word tells us to. Be with us, Father God. Father God, we recognize that this is a very troubled world. And so, Father God, we pray for your peace to be on the places of the world that are languishing under tyranny, under terror, under any form of hostility. Father God, be peace in those regions. Father God, be here on the west side, allowing Cook's Church and all of this community to reach out into to this west side and meet need, so that we may strengthen our proclamation to the world that Christ is indeed Lord and Savior, and it's in following him that we find not only our peace and our purpose, but also our party and our joy. So let us now come into that awareness through closing our prayer with words and a prayer that Jesus himself taught us praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I appreciate you guys coming and having worshiping with us. But now we get to the part that's going to truly give our hearts the most joy, isn't it? We introduce the kids of the Cooks Play School. So we'll come now to the question and answer part of the service. I'm just kidding. I will just say what an honor and joy it is to be here. The kids are on their way. We're going to have a great performance by them. And how immeasurably are we blessed by y'all trusting us with your kids? You know, every day we get to come, those of us that work here, and see this neat little train of joy, right? Chug in. Now, some moments maybe are not so joyful. We saw some of those moments today, right? But I remember them, and they are the moments, I promise you. They seem really awful in the time, but they are the moments that are going to bring you joy forever, because you'll look back and remember that time, and you will be amazed at how sweet it is. I saw a kid with his mom the other day, and for the first time in a long time, I was real envious of having little kids again. I wanted one again. So those days come, I promise. Those days come. Well, they're gathering the kids. Maybe sing a hymn? I don't know. Right. Well, let's do the first round of Amazing Grace. All right. Kids, when they're ready to come on out. And guys, again, thank you for trusting us with us. At the conclusion of the service, Kelly's going to have some instructions for you, but I'm just going to have a seat and enjoy. Can I sit here?
We had to do a little practice. While they're coming in, I will say welcome to all of our wonderful Play School families. We are elated and so happy that you have brought your kids today. And we just know you are going to be so proud of the performance they're going to do. And for all you Cooks Church people, thank you so much for having us. Just to let you know, we feel so blessed by this church, and we thank God every day that we are able to have this program. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing for us and for this community, and we hope that you will enjoy this. Parents, I will ask, after our performance, we do ask that we are going to let the kids stay up here with us and you come retrieve them. Last year was got a little chaotic with us trying to give them to you. So we are going to ask that you come up and retrieve them. Also, the church is having cookies and fellowship because of the rain. It's going to be right down this back hall in the foyer where you came in. So please stay a bit and have a treat and fellowship with everyone. And again, we just cannot thank everybody. And we hope you enjoy their performance.
Let me conclude our worship service really briefly by reminding you, 2 o'clock if you want to learn to make cheesecakes, 5 o'clock if you want to learn to help pray and be compassionate, 6 o'clock for a Bible study, 7 o'clock to eat some cheesecake. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. Oh, hang on. 1 second. We've got, guys, I forgot one thing. We've got a prayer room. If you've been moved by the service or you have some need that you need to be prayed for or prayed with, come and find the library. It's down the hall. Make a left where everybody else is breaking right. All right. Have a great day.